Does it bother you today that predominantly we're dealing with it as age grade levels?
Oh, yes. The whole world of technology, we're essentially bypassing in schools. They're still warehouses for kids. We're not looking at schools and education as it is. When kids can go home on their own computer and Google almost any kind of information in the world, we should be capitalizing on that technology much more so than we do. Instead, we're still structured in Horace Mann's 1840 school. Organizationally, grade-wise, we know, for example, that there are at least 3 age grade levels in every grade, at least, maybe more. As a result of that, we're not getting the maximum out of kids. We're getting kids who can easily top the curriculum in a particular grade level and those that struggle for one reason or another, and we put them together and try to compare them simply because they're 6, 7, 8 years old or in the 2nd, 3rd, or 4th grades. And that's just not the way human nature is. We don't grade people after they graduate from school. From there on, they're on their abilities. Why aren't we doing that in grade school?
Okay, so then is the reason it's easier to continue what we're doing. However, you built open design sites across the city, which lends to what you've just talked about, I believe. That concept, open design site, talk about that.
Actually, I think we built 5 schools eventually that were of an open design. I don't think any of them are open today in that concept. I remember Park Elementary School, we had a loft area for observation, which I think now is a library or a teacher's workroom or something like that. Part of this goes back not only to the reluctance of parents, but also to the way kids are taught in college. Many colleges still teach in a traditional manner. Kids go out ill-prepared, and I can speak to that having been in higher education. Ill-prepared to handle today's kids, still trying to manipulate them in the same way that we did 30, 40 years ago when there were considerable differences in social issues. These innovations come and go. The 4-day week, for example, I champion because I can see so many advantages to having kids stay longer for 4 days. But only through contingency, maybe, is that going to happen. That is, current budget crunches and so forth. We're seeing a few schools do that, essentially because it's a money saver. But there are many advantages to taking a serious look at what would be the 4-day academic week. Of course, the big block there is who's going to babysit the kids the 5th day. Some school districts have resolved that, and most school districts haven't. That's just an illustration.
To demonstrate your open design, you opened Mayo Demonstration School. The response from the community to that curriculum concept, talk to us about it.
That emerged as a result of House Bill 1017 and the need to have a school where teachers could go and learn a different modem, if you will, or module. So that school was set up with the idea that people could come and participate for several days in what we called at that time new design. The whole concept, again, was promoted because of House Bill 1017 and the requirements or mandates that were forthcoming from that. Many of those mandates, you know, are underfunded at this point in time, and so it's been very difficult to maintain it.
For the record, House Bill 1017 was a package of education reforms and tax increases to raise revenue for those reforms passed by the legislature in 1990. As I remember, it was quite a contentious bill and finally was passed.
Barely.
Mayo Demonstration School. No walls, open air. You'd see groups of kids sitting on the floor. Describe what that looked like.
Well, it was, in essence, what we had in mind for continuous progress. That the kids could use the school instead of the school, if you will, using the kids in terms of structure. It was less structured, more dependence for learning was placed on the child. The teachers and the administration were fully aware of this. In fact, here again, you come up with a concept and it's wonderful to accept the kudos for it, but the real momentum comes from the people that are in the building. They have to grasp the concept and run with it. here again, they ran further than my expectations in all cases. The people that were there and the people that are still in the district were among the finest that we could find. This was true in other open schools. Columbus was another early modification. It was kind of interesting. When I first came to town, Columbus was being built, and was being built as a traditional school. We decided, well, this would be our first open school, so we actually had to let the contractors, because of the bids, finish putting in the walls, and then we took them out with our own maintenance crews before school started, and that became our first open school. Then we eventually had Park and Emerson and a couple others that were part of that program.
If I could insert here, I might mention that my wife, Margaret, was the principal as Mayo Demonstration School opened.
Absolutely. Margaret and I became kindred spirits in that regard because she was able to do some things that you couldn't do in a traditional school, and pretty much the path was open to do within the structure of non-gradedness, whatever she wanted to do or her staff wanted to do in the way of being creative. Many, many teachers and many, many educators have these wishes, but they don't have the opportunities.
Mm-hmm. So here we are in 2010. Are you concerned about maybe a Mayo demonstration school that it's not getting the attention that it should be getting today and that's not being promoted like it should be?
Yes, I am. I think a lot of what happens, again, is based on tradition. In our case being our profession, it's a money issue. We're always, seems like, a day long and a dollar short as far as having enough to work with financially. And time-wise, the school year is too restrictive. The concept that I've already mentioned of 180 days and 5.5 hours is far, far outdated. I've looked very closely at homeschooling. The curriculum that is available to a homeschooler is essentially very technology-oriented. It enables them to do things that kids in the traditional school can't do. The home schools have overcome what my big concern originally was, which was the social issue, not getting out and being too isolated by having their own athletic organizations and their own music organizations and so forth, as well as their homeschooling and being able to maximize the use of technology. That's what I think the failing of warehousing is.